Let's go ahead and begin at verse 5 this morning. He says, He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher. Did y'all realize Noah was a preacher? He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And he turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be judged. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we indeed have this privilege and this honor to be in your services today. And Father, we pray as you look over this congregation that you'd help me as I preach, because I can't do anything without you. And Lord, we realize that for anything to be done, you must do it. That we are absolutely helpless and nothing without you. And Lord, that you'd take these lips of clay and that you'd anoint them, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, that people will be touched through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to ask you now to turn to Genesis 19. I want to read a little bit there, and then I'm going to finish the series that I began, Genesis chapter 19. And we began this series about 4 weeks ago, and we based it off 2 Peter 2, 6 through 9. And it's all about Lot. Of course, we know, everybody should know about Lot. He was Abraham's nephew. And we brought two lessons so far. This will be the third. Our first lesson was on Lot's city. That was the first sermon that I preached, Lot's city. Now, do you remember what city Lot lived in? He lived in the city of Sodom. And, of course, Sodom, you have Sodom and, of course, Gomorrah. That was a parent or a city that was near Sodom. So, very wicked city. Its name is synonymous with the sin of sodomy, and we preached on that, and I got to leave that lay. So you can get the CD, or you can go online to sermonaudio.com, or you can go to ghtg.org and go to there, and then we have all these sermons for free online. We look at Lot's city. Lot's city. Secondly, we looked at Lot's righteousness. Three times it calls him a righteous man in the book of 2 Peter. How was Lot saved, folks? He was saved by faith in the coming Messiah. He was saved the same way that Abraham was. The book of Romans 4, Paul made clear that Abraham was saved by faith. They look forward to the coming Messiah. What do? We look back. The Messiah's already came, and we trusted in him as our Savior, and that's why we're saved. So we looked at Lot's city. We looked at Lot's righteousness. And then last of all, and this is what we're going to look at today, Lot's deliverance. Lot would be delivered. His two girls, he had two girls that went out with him. Now, I think he had two other girls that were married that probably died in the destruction. But they left. And now remember, his wife also went out, but they were told not to look back, folks. When you leave, don't look back. And she looked back and she was destroyed for disobeying the Lord in that fashion. So, Genesis chapter 19, let me read you about this. Now, I hope you don't get bored with me reading the Scripture. And if you do, you need to straighten up. Because the Scripture is God's Word. You better hope when you go to church somewhere, you need to hear God's Word. If you don't hear no God's Word, there ain't no use going. God's Word is what God's house is all about. All right, Genesis 19. Now, let's watch this deliverance. What's the message entitled? Lot's deliverance. Now let's watch this deliverance, and I want you to see how it happens. Genesis chapter 19, and let's begin in verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. That's the city that he asked to go to. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire of the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities of the plain, and it said overthrew those cities and all the plain. Now, what you need to understand, Deuteronomy 29:23, When the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, there's two other cities that were destroyed along with that. I didn't know if you knew that or not. It's a total of four cities. You look in Deuteronomy 29 and 23, and it names those four cities. Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam. Those were four cities that it was recorded that were destroyed. The reason why Sodom is a prominent city is because there's a saved man in it. That's the reason why it's even mentioned. Because he got him out of there before he destroyed it. So here it says, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, I'm going to give you a total of 4 points, and I may combine one of them. You can learn a lot about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by looking at this deliverance in this particular text. You can learn a lot about the second coming by looking at this illustration of a destruction of these cities by fire in the days of Lot. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament that were foreshadows of greater things to come. Jesus himself, and I'll show you the text here in just a little bit, Jesus himself used the destruction of Sodom as an illustration of the second coming. Did y'all know that? And I'm going to show you the text. He actually goes back to Lot and the destruction of Sodom and the deliverance of Lot to teach us truths about the second coming. He goes back to the destruction of Sodom, and he also goes back to the destruction of the world in Noah's day. And these are antitypes or pictures or figures of what was to come and is to come whenever the Lord takes us out and destroys this earth. I'm going to give you 4 lessons this morning. Are you ready? And I want you to get them, and I want you to weigh them, and I want you to check it out and make sure I'm telling you the truth. Check it by the Scripture. If you can't prove things by the Scripture, your opinion, oh, I hate to say it like this, don't mean nothing. You have to have the Scriptures as your basis for whatever you say and whatever you do. All right? Now let me give you the 4 lessons I want you to get. Number one, the deliverance was pre-wrath. The deliverance was pre-wrath. In other words, before the wrath fell upon this city, he made sure he got that saved man out of there first. That's the first lesson that I want you to see today. Lesson number two. He was gathered by angels. He was gathered. Now remember, these two men that came into the city were angels. They had the appearance of men, but they were angels indeed. So who took Lot out of the city of Sodom? You can read about it in Genesis 19. Who carried him or took him out or led him out? Actually, they drug him out. They got him by the hand and they drug him out of the city because he was lingering behind. His home was there. He had people there. His business was there. And he says, come. And they said, get out of here. But he was lingering and they got him by the hand and out of the city they went. They took him out pre-wrath and he was gathered by the angels. Number three, the destruction was a complete destruction. When the fire fell down upon the cities of Sodom, there was no one left other than the ones who were taken out of the city, with the exception of Lot's wife, whose heart was still in the city. Remember, they give her one command, don't look back. When you leave here, don't look back. And when she looked back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. So the destruction was a what kind of destruction? It was a complete destruction. That's the third thing I want you to see. And then last of all, the destruction was by... how did he destroy Sodom? It was a destruction by fire. Okay, so those are the 4 lessons that you see with regard to this coming destruction. All right, now when the Lord's going to destroy the world, and is he going to destroy this world? Absolutely. Now that sentence has already been passed. It's just a matter of, let me tell you, it's just a matter of when. It's just not a matter of if. It's a matter of when that this thing is going to happen. And I want you to know something today. This thing could happen today. This thing could happen today. And I want to ask all you folks, if it did happen today, would you go out or would you be left behind? That's what you need. That needs to be forefront in your mind this morning. If it would happen today, would you go out or would you be left behind? I watched a video on the internet. You know, y'all know I can get on that internet now. Anyhow, I watched a video, and it's a rapture video, and it's got this preacher in the pulpit, buddy. It's about 2 minutes long. He's preaching, and he's preaching about the second coming, and all of a sudden lightning flashes, his Bible hits the floor, and 3/4 of the congregation are gone. But 1/4 of the congregation is left. Could you imagine if Jesus came on a Sunday morning? Could you imagine if the King came on a Sunday morning, and if He would come here between 11:30 and 12, you could just imagine. Would you go or would you be left behind? That's the important thing for you. I want you to know this morning I'm fully confident in my heart that if the King would come today, I'd go up. I know that for sure. I don't have no doubt about that. And you need to have that same confidence and assurance also. How do you know? You say, well, I feel it. It has to be based more on a feeling. It has to be based on that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. There's a day and a time that you trusted Him, that He died for you, and that He rose again the third day, and your sole hope of heaven is in Him. This deliverance was pre-wrath. You know, when Jesus comes again, what He will do before He destroys this world by fire, He's done destroyed it once. It's already been destroyed one time. It was destroyed by water. And you know what the greatest evidence of that is? Hear me. It's the Bible. I mean, we think we got to show all this other evidence for it. Man, if the Bible says that that's God's Word, you don't get no better than that. There's all kinds of evidences, physical evidence for the flood. But the main evidence is God's Word. There's no greater witness in the world, in the universe, than God. If God said there's a worldwide flood, there was a worldwide flood. I didn't have to go back years ago to see it. If He says it, I believe it, and that settles it. There was a flood. All the fossils that they find today are evidence that God judges sin. The fossils came from the flood. They find seashell fossils in the middle of deserts. They find them on the top of the highest mountains in the world. How in the world did they get up there? One time the world was covered with water. And Genesis 6-9 tells you all about that. He got him safe. Once he was safe, you remember one of the things they said in Genesis 19, the angel said, "We can do nothing till you are safe. We can do nothing till you are safe." And then when he went into the city of Zoar, then the wrath of God fell on this particular city. That's how it's going to be when Jesus comes. Before He destroys this earth, He gets His people out. He gets His people out of here first. Let's notice a couple passages here in 2 Thessalonians. Now, let me give you some of the evidence of that. This is pre-wrath. God's people won't go through the wrath. I'm going to give you a couple verses of Scripture. I'm sorry, let's look at 1 Thessalonians first. 1 Thessalonians, every chapter talks about the second coming, and you can study that at home. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 says, "And to wait..." Everybody there? 1 Thessalonians 1 10. Now remember, if you can't find things, don't try it. I'm going to read this. It says, "To wait for His Son from heaven." Are we waiting on His Son? "Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus," now notice what it says, "which delivered us from the wrath to come." Does everybody see it? He delivered us from the wrath to come. Now you've actually been delivered from two wraths. First of all, you've been delivered from the wrath of hell. I mean, Jesus, if your sins is not paid for and you die without Christ, and folks, there is such a place called hell. Because the Scriptures clearly teach that too. And to be condemned is to go to hell. When the Bible says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and you get in Christ by faith. So He saved us from hell. Oh, I can remember being a little boy and listening to Baptist preachers down here with that old pulpit over there. They're the one that broke that thing. I didn't break it. But they'd hit that with their fist and they'd preach on hell and they'd scare me to death. And I'm glad they preached on it. It's too late to find out it exists after that you're gone. You need to know about it before you die, and you need to know about it before it comes. And I used to cry to my mother, who taught me in the Scriptures, and I'd say, Mommy, I don't want to go to hell. I remember saying that, Mommy, I don't want to go to hell. Well, the thought of that scared me to death. But I'm not afraid of it at all no more, because He's delivered me from the wrath to come. Not only the wrath of hell, but also the wrath that's going to happen to this old earth. The wrath of God one day will fall upon this earth, but you know what? Before He destroys this earth, He gets His people out. Just like He did in the day of Lot, He never did anything unless He was safe. Until His people are safe, He's not going to destroy it. He's going to pre-wrath. He's going to take us out pre-wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Stay with me today. I don't think I'll be too windy. But just ask the Lord to help you be able to sit there and listen real good. Don't think about what you're going to do after a while or where you're going to eat at or any of these things or the ball game or nothing. Think about what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is eternal things and important things. And if you hear the day to save, you pray that the Holy Spirit would use what I'm saying, that someone would be touched from this message. 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verse 9. Notice what it says. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Aren't you glad? God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, you see the idea that we're not going to face that time of wrath. He will deliver us and we'll obtain salvation. We've then obtained the salvation of our souls. But before He destroys the world, He will get us safely out. 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. You writing these verses down? I hope you are. It says, and to you who are troubled, look at verse 7. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, could that happen this morning? We're waiting on Him to be revealed from heaven. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, now notice, with His mighty angels, now notice what He's going to be doing. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Well, He saved us from this everlasting destruction. And folks, I pray this morning that you have obeyed the gospel. I don't think there's a person here today that don't know what the gospel is. If you've come to this church very long, you know what the gospel is. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. It is defined because in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, because Paul received that directly from Jesus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When you trust that message, that's what saves your soul. And if I ask you, are you saved? And I often do when someone comes for baptism. I want to know that they're trusting in the right object. When I ask them, are they saved? And they say yes. And I ask what question? I ask a second question. I ask them, why do they say that? And buddy, when I ask them why they say it, I don't want to tell, well, I was sitting in church and the lights blinked off and on and out of that day forth, I knew I was saved. You hear things like that. You best not base your salvation on a light blinking, or the wind blowing, or a goosebump that run up your spine. I'm saved, hear me. Because Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I've obeyed the gospel. Those that obey not the gospel, will experience, if they're alive and remain when Jesus comes, they will experience the wrath of God from the coming judgment. If they die without Christ, they will experience the judgment also of hell. But people, one purpose of the rapture is Jesus is taking us out of here. Why is He coming? Why is Jesus coming? I mean, here's all of this wrath that's getting ready to fall here on the earth. The sun is darkened and the moon turned its blood and all of this wrath is getting ready to fall. And the Father says, get your people out of there. Just like He did Lot. Hear me. Just like He did Noah. Before the destruction of the flood hit, He made sure Noah and his three sons and their wives and his wife were safe in the ark. And once they were safe, in 7 days, the destruction of that wrath came. But He made sure His people were safe first. Made sure Noah and his family was saved. Were safe in the ark. And He made sure Lot was safe. And when He comes again, He's going to do the same thing. He's going to get His people out. And He's going to get us out how? Pre-wrath. We're going to go up in a rescue cloud. We're going to go up in a rescue cloud. He's going to take us out of here. Okay? All God's people say it. So when you look at Lot, you see the deliverance was pre-wrath. The judgment didn't fall until the righteous was safe. It's going to be the same way the second coming. Number two, who gathered Lot out of there? It was angels, wasn't it? Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Now I can pick up a pace. I got my foundation laid. You pay close attention to what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 24. We're looking at Lot's deliverance and we're bringing lessons from Lot's deliverance. And the first lesson this morning, that Lot was delivered how? Pre-wrath. He never went through the wrath of the destruction of Sodom. Did Noah go through the wrath? No, he was delivered from it too. And Jesus is going to do the same thing at the second coming for His people. Before He destroys this world by fire, He'll get His people safely out first. Number two, we'll be gathered by the angels. We'll be gathered by the angels. That's how Lot was gathered. The Lord sent two angels in there and they brought Lot out. He's going to do the same thing with regard to us. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 24. Notice what it says in verse 30. It said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Stop. Let me ask you a question. Why are all the tribes of the earth mourning when they see Him coming? They're not ready. They sit in services just like the one that you're sitting in. And they heard preachers just like me that are preaching about the coming wrath. And they see Him coming and they're mourning because they are not ready. And they know what's about to happen. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son. What now? Did I misread that? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and grace. It's not a secret. I've seen movies where the Lord comes and there's a pile of clothes laying all over the place. Everybody in that wonder, what in the world happened? It's not how it's going to be. They'll see Him. They'll see. It'll be a frightening day. Luke chapter 21, I'll show you that here. Just it says, men's hearts failing them for fear when this day comes. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why is He coming? He's coming to get us out. For pre-wrath. Verse 31. He'll send His what? Everybody say it. He sent His angels. He sent His angels. With the great sound of a... Is that where 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? He's going to come with a trumpet. Come with a shout. The voice of the let me say one. He's coming with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the what? The trump. Coming with the trump of God. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds. That's north, south, east, and west. And from one end of heaven to the other. I want you to get this now. When Jesus comes again, He's coming in the clouds. And I want you to hear this. And we know from 1 Thessalonians 4, when He comes in the clouds, is He coming alone? He's got our people. He's got our people that's there that trusted Him while they was living. They're with Him today. And when He comes again, He's bringing them with Him. So He's not coming alone. When He comes and He's got our people will be with Him. I got a lot of people there that I look forward to seeing. And what's going to happen is the resurrection, it's called the first resurrection, happens and they'll all have a body. New one, not like this one. This body's corrupted by sin, it's aging, it gets sick, and one day if the Lord doesn't come, my body's going to die and so is yours. But they'll get a new body. They'll be in heaven. He's bringing them with Him. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. Then it says, we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, that could be us. I'd like to be that generation, wouldn't you? Live up to it. Get to see it. We which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, it says, we'll be caught up. And that caught up is where the term, the Latin word for that term, is where the word rapture comes from. Caught up. How do we get caught up? We're gathered by the angels. Just like Lot was gathered by the angels, how we get caught up is we'll be gathered by the angels. He's going to empty heaven, and He's going to gather together all of His people. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Gathered by the angels. Will everybody get gathered by the angels? No. Just those who have trusted that gospel message. Just those that know Him. Luke chapter 21. It describes this day for us here also. Luke chapter 21. Verse 25, just to show you, starting about the same day, look at verse 25. It says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25 now. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. You have that in Revelation 6. You have it in the Old Testament. It's mentioned. You have it mentioned in Matthew 24. You have it mentioned in Mark 13. It's going to turn the sun dark. So there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon. Of course, you affect the sun, you're also going to affect what? You're also going to affect the moon. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves and the roaring. Now watch verse 26. I quoted this earlier. Men's heart failing them for fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, everybody look at verse 27. They shall see the Son of Man coming. It's not a secret. They shall see it. It's not happening to everybody. What in the world's going on? They're going to know what's going on. That's why they're weeping. They're going to see it. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. The worst thing, the worst feeling in the world would be to see Jesus come and see Him go back and you be left here. Now watch this now. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, look up. What's it say? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Now, the book of Ephesians says that we're sealed until the day of redemption. When others heard, the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit took up abode in your heart. And He stays until the day of redemption. The day Jesus comes is called the day of redemption. Does everybody in the house know that? Do you know why it's called that? Because that's the day you get your new body. That's what, you know, I'm saved and I'm redeemed already. But I haven't got the full benefits of my redemption yet. You think I'm a heretic because I just said, I haven't got the full benefits of my redemption yet. I haven't got my new body yet. And I'm not in heaven yet. So he says, the day that Jesus comes, he calls that day a day of redemption. That's the day you're going to get a new body. That's the day you're going to go be with him. The book of 1 John says, when we see him, we will be, like him. I read one time that the Father loved the Son so much, he made a whole nation of people like his Son. That's the goal of saving your souls, and make you like Christ. We're to be Christ-like in our conduct here. But folks, I still have evil thoughts. I still fail, and I still get mad, don't you? I long to be like the King. I want to be like Jesus. I long to be like him. Greatest thing about heaven for me is to be sinless. That's what I look forward to. To be just like him. Totally. Now, I got a righteous standing, don't get me wrong. But one day I'm going to get a new body, Mike, and I'll be like him. I won't have to worry about evil thoughts. I won't have to worry about things I say that might not be right or off or shouldn't say. I'll be perfect. All God's people say that. That's the day of redemption. So Lot was delivered pre-wrath. Number two, Lot was gathered by the angels. Number three, the destruction was complete. Now I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and you weigh what I say. I know all the different views of the book of Second Coming issues. I don't draw fellowship over such things as that either. I know I'm saved, I know I'm going, I know eventually it's going to happen. So I don't quarrel and fight around such things. I just want you to think about some things. The destruction, once Lot was safe, was it complete? It was a complete destruction. I read after a preacher that visited that area, and he's a good preacher, real good, a whole lot better than I am. His name ain't Andy Stanley either, but I've read about him. But anyhow, that preacher went over there to the area. He said, there's nothing there. He said, that's what caught him. It's gone. It's just wiped away. For years, they thought it just sunk, you know, maybe the Mediterranean took over the area. But there's just nothing there. It was a complete destruction of those cities. The fire wiped it off the face of the earth. It literally did. It was what kind of destruction? It was complete destruction. Totally devastated. He totally wiped it out. He sure did. When he destroyed the world by water in Noah's day, was it a complete destruction? Absolutely. Now, remember, when he destroyed the earth before, he doesn't wipe the globe out, does he? He destroyed the face of the whole planet. I could go down an area there, but I'm going to leave that lay for another message. But he destroyed it. He destroyed it. And it was a complete destruction. Now turn to Luke 17. Now, I'm almost done. My deacon say that's a 10-minute warning. Luke 17. Now, if you give what I give you right here, by God's grace, I'll leave here a happy man today. I want you to look at Luke 17. Jesus, in Luke 17, did the same thing I'm doing this morning. He used the destruction of the Sodom as an example of the second coming, and he used the destruction of Noah's day as an example. That's why I'm comfortable in using it, because Jesus used it. Okay? Now I want you to watch this. All right, is everybody ready? Let's see. Let me begin up at verse 23 to catch it all. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. It means it's going to be visible. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Now watch this. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they did drink, and they married wives, and they were getting married, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came, and what else does it say? And destroyed them all. So what he's telling you here, who's teaching here? Well, the king is. And he said, when the flood came, it destroyed them all. That's what he wants you to know. And what were they doing the day that the flood happened? It was just another day. I mean, it was just, people were going to work. People were laying down and sleeping. People were eating and going to dinner and drinking. There was nothing out of the ordinary. It just looked like another day. That's how it's going to be when Jesus comes. People will be going off to work. People will be going to the ball games. People will be doing different things. But that will be the day the King comes. And it'll catch millions unprepared. They had to sit in services just like this one and heard. And said, well, I've got plenty of what? You don't know how much time you've got. You don't know when He's coming. He could come before this service is over. And you don't know when you're going to die either. You need to always be ready. Always be prepared. You're gambling. Every day you gamble, you're gambling with your eternal soul. Man, I've done the services of people who are in their 80s. But I've done the services of people in their teens. You know, these things that I'm talking about are the most important things. You're not ready for life, my friends, if you're not ready for the second coming and for your death. Oh, God's people said, oh, this looks like another day. Once Noah's the safe, they destroy them all. I think Ken Ham or some of them estimate the population of the world in Noah's day at 1 billion people. 8 people were saved. 8 got in the ark. Did they hear? He was a preacher of righteousness. Remember I read that? He was a preacher. Well, you build anything that's going to draw a crowd, doesn't it, Doug? They'd come and that old man of God would say, listen, God's going to destroy this place. You need to repent of your sin and get on this boat. And they did that and did that and did that. He did that for 120 years. And then he got on. Who shut the door? God shut it. And after 7 days, the Bible said the fountains of the deep broke up. You imagine the tsunamis? The fountain of the deep broke up and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And it covered something like 22 cubits, probably 25, 30 feet over the highest mountain in the world. And God destroyed it. Destroyed it all. It's complete destruction. Verse 28. Likewise, it'll be in the days, as it was in the days of Lot. Who's talking here? It's Jesus. Likewise, that means in the same manner. In the same way, it was a complete destruction in the days of Noah. It was a complete destruction in the days of Lot. They did eat and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built it. It's just another day. That same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone down out of heaven. And what else does it say? Somebody tell me. Destroyed them all. It's a complete destruction. It was a complete destruction. Noah's was a complete destruction by water. Lot's was a complete destruction by fire. Are you ready? Now look at the next verse 30. Even thus. It means in the same way. Same as the previous two destructions that Jesus used in His lesson here. I'm just using Jesus' sermon this morning. Same way. In like manner. See? That means in the same way. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Be in the same fashion. He gets these people out. And then He'll destroy them all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. I want to show you this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. I'm preaching on this part on tomorrow on the radio. You say, why are you preaching on this? Because I think there's a lot of people, most people, think there's salvation after Jesus comes. Well, I still got a chance there. I don't think you do. I don't think that view is right. And one reason is because of the text that I just showed you. May I be wrong? I doubt it. No. Could be. But according to these two examples that Jesus used, destruction was complete. That's why He says now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. Once Jesus comes, that's the equivalent to the ark door shutting. And if you're still shot at getting saved, why are all the kindreds of the earth mourning? Why are they mourning? They heard, but they never got ready. 1 Corinthians 15:23, it's the Speed of Mars broadcast. Every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. That means Jesus was first to resurrect, never to die again. Afterwards, they that are Christ at His coming. Then what does verse 24 says? Then comes the what? Then comes the end. Then comes the end. 2 Peter 3, we'll close with this. We're used Lot's deliverance as an example of the second coming. The deliverance is pre-wrath. Everybody got it? The gathering was by angels. The destruction was complete. Now, last of all, how was Sodom destroyed, folks? It was destroyed by fire. And when the Lord destroys this world the second time, it's going to be by fire. 2 Peter verse chapter 3, verse 10. Don't tune me out now, folks. I know I've wore you out this morning, but don't tune me out to this. I want you to get this. Verse 10. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. That means unexpectedly. Of course, it's going to be night somewhere in the world when Jesus comes, isn't it? Think about that a little bit. He'll come as a thief. A thief comes unexpectedly. I got robbed one time in the daytime. Y'all remember that? Yeah, in the daytime. Caught the fella. No, just forget it. Anyhow, it can happen in the daytime. It just means unexpected. It means it's unexpected. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. See, the Lord's not only going to destroy the world by fire, but the heavens by fire. Now, not the third heaven. That's going to be come down and set on a new earth. But what I want you to know is the heavens, our solar system, you talk about burning. I heard a preacher say one time, now this is the global warming you need to fear. It's pretty good, I thought. This is the global warming you need to fear right here. It says the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. You got a big $2 million house, it'll be burned up in the fire. You know what's going to happen in this building right here? This building isn't the church. It's where we gather. It stays behind. Now, I'll probably try to take a piece of it with me. It's going to stay here. You know them banks where your money's at? That's going to burn up too. That fine car you have is going to burn up too. All those trophies you earned over your years, that's going to burn up too. All your earthly accomplishments will stay here except what was done for Christ. There's only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is what will last. You need to think more about eternal things. We're too earthly minded. You need to think about the everlasting things. Verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All God's people say it. It's what we're looking for. It's what we're looking for. I get this question all the time. And I'm going to answer it for you this morning. What has to happen for Jesus to come? Well, all the prophetic events has already happened. There's one thing that has to happen. That last lost sheep needs to come into the fold. And I don't know who that is. Notice what he says. He explains in verse 9 why he hadn't come yet. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Because you read up in the previous verses, they're complaining because we've heard this. Verse 4, we've heard about Him coming since our fathers have died. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. Now he explains why he hadn't come yet. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward. See the word usward? That's His people. That's His sheep. See? He's not willing that any should perish, and they're not going to perish. He's not willing that any perish, but they'll all will come to repentance. I had a buddy, Bubba, that worked with me up on the loading dock. And he came to me one day and said, "Now, Reverend," I didn't like being called that, but that's the way he called me anyhow. "When do you think this thing's going to happen? When do you think the Lord's going to come?" And I said, "Well, I can tell you one thing. I think when that last lost sheep is brought into the fold, that's when the King will come. We don't know who that is, nor do we know when that is." But I looked at Bubba and I said, "You might be holding this whole thing up." You know what he did? "Well, now, Reverend, don't be laying all that delay on me." That was pretty cool. When that last lost sheep comes in, and the Father looked at the Son, He'll say, "Go get your people out." And He'll bring this thing to a close. And He'll rain His fire and wrath down upon those that are left behind. And then He'll establish a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And His people will be with Him and worship Him forever. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this morning.